should we pay to see our GP to help the struggling NHS and reduce the number of DNAs that did not attend? The suggestion has been raised by the celebrity doctor, David Bull. He says we could apply a fee, which could be refunded if you're seeing the GP for an appropriate reason. Dr. George O'Neill's with us this morning. Morning to you, George.
Morning, Stephen.
Morning in the businessman, Erwin Armstrong. Good morning to you, Erwin.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Stephen. Good morning, George.
So, George, should we pay to see a GP?
No.
Why not?
Well, look, the central founding principle of the health service was based on it was free at the point of need, was universal, and was paid out of taxation. You've already paid out of taxation. And really, and it was to be irrespective of income. I mean, I appreciate people talk about DNAs and they talk about trivial self-limiting conditions that end up with a GP. But who decides what's trivial, what's self-limiting? Who decides that it was inappropriate? And if you look at the way that prescriptions, where we do charge for prescriptions for dental treatment, over 90% of the people are exempt. And the people who use the service the most are the most likely to be affected by this. That's older people and the poor and the disadvantaged.
But you know,
these,
George,
are the people who might find £10 a lot of money just to appear at a GP surgery. And the problem is that they looked at this in dentistry and they found that about 4% of the population didn't go to the dentist because of cost. Work that out, the number of people would go through the GP surgeries every year. You're talking about thousands of people would not turn up with potentially serious illnesses, which are not picked up early, and could result in costing the health service even more money to treat. I think it's a nonsense.
But you know that people not turning up for a doctor's appointment ultimately costs the NHS millions of pounds a year.
We have looked at this, and certainly in relation to hospital appointments, was looked at some time ago. And what we found is almost as many appointments were cancelled by the hospital as were resulted by people not turning up. And there's often valid reasons for it. I mean, family issues, challenges, difficulties. I mean, there are a whole range of things. And you just can't condemn everybody because people are not turning up. No, there's sometimes very valid reasons why people don't turn up. And I think this is the bureaucratic. Who collects the money? What happens with the money? What amount of money is involved? You're not going to save money for the health service because you're likely to cost more by missing things. And the amount of money, when it applies to less than 10% of the population who use the service, is trivial compared to the amount spent on the health service.
Erwin?
Well, I think George is correct on many fronts. However, he will be aware more than most people that people who attend the doctor need to treat it as more of a privilege and less as a right, that you can actually go to a doctor, get an appointment and get treatment. The problem that we do have is whenever you look at, for example, in Northern Ireland, and the statistics that I understand, about 30% of GPs are within a few years of retiring. Getting an appointment in Northern Ireland today is extending. I know people who are waiting in certain areas for 2 weeks to get appointments. Now, if that is the situation, it means people who are ill aren't actually getting appointments and are probably being forced into A&E and other places. There is no excuse for somebody who does not turn up for an appointment. Everybody's got telephones or access to a telephone to ring up and say, look, I'm sorry, I can't come, to allow that space to be used for somebody else. And we need some sort of deterrent for people saying, I can't be bothered getting out of bed this morning. You know, don't mind, it doesn't matter. People have to understand that it does matter that you make an appointment and you attend. And the other instance is that a good friend of mine who's also a doctor said his biggest problem is the worried well, who have a minor ailment and look up the internet and decide they're going to die the next day. You know, so we need some sort of barrier that says, look, if you're not really ill, go to your pharmacist, go somewhere else.
Yeah, but once you start loading money onto the NHS, or charges, Erwin, onto the NHS, it may disincentivize some people to go, and that could ultimately cost lives.
Yeah, but I think it's quite correct to say that many, many people will never pet because they'll be exempt, whether they're elderly or they have long-term conditions or their children won't pet. This is to discourage people who don't really need to be going to a doctor to say, look, I really want to go to the doctor, and I'm prepared to pay. And I'm not saying, like, the south of Ireland, where I believe it's now 60 euros. I'm talking more like £5 or something. And it's not about collecting the money. It's about instilling into people, you know, this is a valuable service that we all rely on. And the fact that you pay £5 if you're one of these worried well, that's fine. I mean, we as a company had a trial we did in England where the surgery actually sent people with coughs and colds off to the pharmacy. 88% of the people who went to the pharmacy and saw the pharmacist did not actually go to the back to the doctor's surgery. I mean, that shows you the extent of the problem.
George?
Well, I mean, I think the point's well made. We need to educate the public about the appropriate use of GP services and the other services that are available. But that's an educational matter. And bringing in, my great concern would be that the people who are most likely to be hurt by this are older people, the disadvantaged and the poor. These are the people who use the health service the most. These are the people who present later with illnesses. These are the people who don't want to upset or disturb their doctor. These are the people who do not and should not be put off by introducing a charge.
And burn them. But George,
they've already paid through taxation.
But I think George already said there will be a large number of exemptions. I'm not talking about trying to keep really sick people away from doctors. What I'm trying to say is if you're only a little bit sick, as we all get from time to time, a cold or minor food poisoning or something, you don't need to go to the GP. You can go to the pharmacist or you can wait for 2 days and you'll probably be better again. It's to say to those people, look, if you really want to go to your GP, OK, you're going to have to pay a small fee.
Here's Fred in Tramore. Morning, Fred.
Hello, how are you?
Go ahead, Fred.
Well, I'm a pensioner and I get some prescriptions. And I found out one of them got damaged and I went, so I bought it. And the prescription only cost 30p. Now, I'd be quite willing to pay up to 50p for that because it takes more to administer. And as regards paying to go to your GP, that was a suggestion was made by the Minister of Agriculture, Michelle O'Neill, that the fee would need to be £45. But £45
for what?
To go to visit your GP.
That's not what Michelle O'Neill said. She did not say that.
Yes, she said that. I can say it on
she did not. She did not say.
What did she say?
She did not suggest a £45 charge, Fred,
to go to the doctor. About how it should
she
help
didn't.
The NHS. She said a £45.
No, she didn't, Fred. She didn't, Fred. I don't remember that. But do you think people should be charged for going to the doctor?
Those who are fit to pay at a certain level. But you see, that £45 is the equivalent of what you pay in the Republic, the 50 euros you pay to go to your GP. Plus your prescription. Hello?
No, I'm listening to you. George O'Neill, can I just conclude with you this morning? Is there no way beyond... What is the system trying to do to get people to turn up? Like, are they sending them a text every time? Or why are so many people not turning up to doctor's appointments?
Well, we have found that really most people are turning up. We have some DNS, but not an awful lot. There's a problem with text messages. People change their phones, their mobile phone numbers so frequently now. It's almost impossible to keep on top of it. Certainly, we found that. We did try it. We found it a challenge. But what we've got to look at, it's a bigger picture, Steve. We've got to look at different ways of delivering services. And one of the things we're introducing, and certainly in West Belfast shortly, is first contact physio, where the patient can refer themselves directly to a physio embedded in and wrapped around a general practice. This will change how we behave and how we can make better use of services. But once again, it's going to get down to how do we educate the public to use the services that are available appropriately in relation to the condition that they are having problems with.
Now, George Nashankal, you deliver prescriptions. Do you think this would work?
No, Stephen, it would be too hard trying to sort out who would be eligible to pay and who wouldn't be eligible to pay. You know, it would be another burden on maybe what you have to remember is 90% of the workforce now is on minimum wage. So, you know, it would be another charge to workers, like health, like dental, and that is. What might work, and I think it would be a good idea, would be a flat charge across the board of £1, say, every prescription you ordered. You know, and that would be a minimal charge. That would cover sort of administration fees. But what it would do, and this is probably one of the most important things that people don't realise, People go and get a prescription for paracetamol or Anadin or something like that. They're like, it's 30-odd P to buy. By the time that goes through the system, it's something like 30 quid sometimes to the NHS for a 36 pence box of tablets. So if you did put the £1 administration charge in, but that paracetamol would still be free on the minor ailment scheme in the chemist, it would stop people going and wasting GPs and frontline staff's time, you know, for such a small item. And that would boost the minor ailment scheme, which would take away, again, work from the front. Because you have to remember, when they're ordering these, it's you're going down with a relative that's sick and you're standing in a queue, and two people in front of you in the queue could be in for something like a sore stomach or a sore head that paracetamol or a minor ailment scheme could sort out in the pharmacy. So you're taking away time of the frontline staff, then you're taking away time from the GP who's to sign them and check that you're eligible for it, then have to get back out. And as I say, 30p turns into 30 quid. You know, whereas if it's minor ailments, it keeps the charges down.
Okay, George, thank you. Dr. George O'Neill, thank you. Erwin Armstrong, thank you very much indeed.